If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, guys, Megan just informed me that she had nachos for breakfast, and that's about where we're at through this whole thing.
I mean, look, this is our time to just, there are no rules, you know, except, you know, don't leave your house.
Right.
But
those are the only
that, do what you'd like, and that includes nachos for breakfast.
Exactly. I respect that. We also, you guys, will have some interviews with some of your favorite Bravo celebrities from the comfort of their own homes. We've been doing a couple phoners, some quarantine-themed interviews, so stay tuned for that. I just got off the phone with Margaret Josephs. We've got a few more lined up this week, so very exciting. But Megan,
how was it?
It was great. I love Margaret, you know. She's just having a lot of morning sex. She's making sure that Marge Sr. and Marlene are good. But yeah, I love Margaret. She's so fun to talk to.
So we have Real Housewives of Atlanta. They're still in Greece. It's the last leg of the Greece trip. Vanderpump Rules. We're back from the wedding. Real life has started. Then we have Shaws of Sunset. Plus, you interviewed NeNe Leakes from Real Housewives of Atlanta and Dana Kathan from Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, yes. Those were both a lot of fun. And of course, we'll wrap up with Rose and Thorne.
Okay, so Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I'm just seeing your first note that says Buffalo Baby.
Buffalo Baby. Yeah, let's start there. Buffalo Baby.
The only thing that I have an issue with is her calling my baby a buffalo.
How is Kenya so upset with NeNe for saying, is she going to give birth to a buffalo? Kenya, she's not insulting your unborn baby. She's insulting you and saying you look huge, which also is not nice, but it's just, again, why are housewives so literal? It blows my mind.
Right. I agree. And I think it's a little bit of Kenya looking for any excuse to remain angry with NeNe, because at this point in their lives, I think fundamentally Kenya just does not like NeNe. And she doesn't want to have to change that. And so she's bringing this thing up from a long time ago just to make her point of, like, I don't want to reconnect and be friends with her. And
right.
I think especially when it comes to her relationships and now her child, Kenya is always going to take that so personally and any insults that might come her way so literally. Whereas, you know, the previous night when they had their big fight and NeNe was like, that's why your husband left you. Obviously, that was completely literal, an attack on the husband.
Yeah.
The buffalo baby, not even buffalo baby, the buffalo comment was more a dig at the way Kenya was looking than being like, oh, your child or whatever. But Kenya's going to take it so personally just because she really is looking for any excuse to just be pissed at Nene, I think.
Also, I just can't stop wanting to say Buffalo Bill baby. But
Buffalo Bill, you had nachos for breakfast. Can I have buffalo wings? I mean, come on.
You can do whatever you want. Don't let Danny tell you otherwise.
I did appreciate Candy getting right up and chasing Kenya down and getting loud. We haven't seen Candy get loud in a while. So I was really for that moment.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because I feel like Candy is the only one who is keeping Kenya accountable at this moment, because Kenya really is that person who can dish it but can't take it. And it's just like, no, you're not allowed to say your piece and then run out while someone else is trying to tell you what their issue is. Like, Marlo had something to say to Kenya. And by the way, Marlo's whole beef with Kenya, that is an issue where I think Marlo is in the right and does deserve a genuine apology.
Definitely for that particular situation, interrupting her event with Kenya Moore Hair Care. But I will say that Marlo has done Kenya pretty dirty in the past with the things that she's
brought up. Well, that's true. Yeah, I know. Stuff that I'd forgotten about.
Yeah, I think we forget because we are seeing such a different side of Marlo this season, and there is something much softer about her. And I actually, in the interview later with Nene, we talk a little bit about that. So I think we do forget how kind of terrible Marlo has been in the past, particularly to Kenya. But that being said, you know, yeah, that isolated incident of the Kenya Moore Hair Care interrupting the event, not the right time or place.
Well, and I had even forgotten that just a few episodes ago, Marlo called Cynthia a bald scallywag. Oh my God.
I mean, I wish I could get away with saying that. It just rolls off the tongue so easily.
Right. Yes. It really gets the point across, but in a hilarious way.
Do you know what I didn't expect in this episode was a trip to the Lohan Beach Club?
I was like, oh my God, is Eric dying right now? Because you love Lindsay Lohan. I mean, look, we all do, but I feel like you especially.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I love Lindsay. I've always been a big fan and supporter. And actually, she replied to my Instagram story just overnight. Because I had posted about how I was listening to one of her songs from
her first album.
And she replied with, like, the heart eyes and applause hands to my post, which I felt...
Did you die?
I felt very appreciative. But it is really funny because, as you know, I am also friends with her brother. And we went to college together. And her sister-in-law, like, I know her brother very, very well. He's one of my good friends. But I have just never met Lindsay. We've just never...
I was going to say, did she make that connection? But probably not.
I don't think so, no. If she had probably checked my profile, she might have seen that, like, a bunch of people she knew followed me, but I'm not sure she investigated that much further other than the fact that I had posted about her song, which is a great song. That whole album is really good. I highly suggest revisiting it in quarantine.
The one thing I didn't like, though, is, and again, this is why I would make a terrible housewife, if I'm going to a beach club in Greece, I want to be dancing, I want to be drinking, I want to be swimming, or I want to be sleeping. I do not want to do some obstacle course, like, let's build our communication and trust type situation. That's not fun to me.
No, well, that's not what you go to a beach club for. And I think we should be grateful because this might be the closest that we get to the Olympics this year, okay?
Wow. So that's the display of athleticism we can count on this year.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before. I think maybe even last week's episode. I do like when they do these sort of themed things to either get out some tea, get out their frustrations, build some, like, bonding. I mean, we've seen them a few times already this season doing different events where competition kind of brings out the best in them in a lot of ways. And it's a moment for them all to kind of put their shit aside and just have a little bit of fun because they all are a little bit competitive. But yeah, I mean, I personally agree and would not want to go to a beach club to then do some activities like that.
I did love watching Portia just drag Nene into the ocean. Like, she really is very strong.
Yeah. And, you know, their friendship is back on track. Otherwise, I don't think that would have been the right decision for Portia to make.
I know you were not happy that they were going to do this whole sort of play type situation at the end of the episode.
No.
Candy and Cynthia were going to act out like a Nene and Kenya feud.
Why don't we play out a Greek tragedy?
You know, sir, like the play. Tragedy.
Yes, but you can be Nene. I'll be Kenya.
Okay, you know, Nene and I just got back cool now. No. What are we getting ready to do?
It could be fun.
Do you hear yourself, ladies? Does that really sound like a great idea?
It seemed like a major stretch to me. And while I loved the theme of the party, the whole, like, Greek goddess, I was into Greek mythology as a kid. I feel like we all had a phase as a child. Maybe you didn't because you're making a silly face.
No, because Aaron too was really into it for a little bit. So I wonder if it's a guy thing.
It might be. I mean, there was a period I remember just being in elementary school, probably maybe middle school, and you just kind of were fascinated by the idea of Greek mythology. So I appreciated the theme and all of that and, you know, whatever. But the whole concept of like putting on a play and each of them playing one of them, it didn't feel like the right recipe to mend their friendship at that point. So I just like was very uncomfortable by that. And I said to Danny as we were watching it, I was like, this is either going to go super well and it's going to be well received by everyone, or somebody's going to get up and walk away. And boom, Nene was like, I'm out.
And I got to go pee. Where my phone is?
He can go pee now.
Yes, I can. I ain't got time to listen to this bullshit.
No, but let's make sure they get it right now.
I don't give a damn. He can get a room.
Okay, see, yes, I am.
Right, because in an ideal world, it would be so silly that it would make Kenya and Nene sort of laugh at themselves and be like, this is so stupid. Why are we fighting? But the reality of the situation is Nene's like, I'm not watching this. Like, bye.
It almost felt, too, like she was pissed at production for allowing this to be what they were about to film. Like, she kind of stormed off. She was talking to the producers, which we've seen a lot more of that from Nene in the last couple of seasons, really kind of breaking that fourth wall and having her just be like, I'm not playing these games. I don't want to do this. I think at that point, Nene was just really tired of putting in effort to try to mend things with Kenya. It all went south already on this trip. So why even bother on this very last night that they're all together to force this kind of situation? I think she was just sort of like, there's so many other ways this night could have ended. Why did we have to make it about us again?
Yeah. Like the women said, Kenya just really blew it. She had an opportunity to make things right with Nene that first night in Greece. She didn't take it, and now they'll never have that chance again.
I do have a prediction for the reunion, which, as we know, is postponed. But just postponed, it's not canceled. I do have a prediction that the theme will be Greek goddess.
Oh, that's a really good guess. I bet you're right.
Which I think this season, between the promo shoot, those photos that came out with the all black, which I thought was stunning, and then ending the season with like a Greek goddess theme. Ooh, I just think that would be so beautiful.
That'd be amazing. We shall see.
I got the chance to interview Real Housewives of Atlanta's Nene Leakes. She gave her predictions on who will be in the hot seat when the reunion finally comes around. She relives the moments she learned about Kenya's divorce, and she gives an update on her friendship with Cynthia. Plus, Nene tells us how she ensures tea she spills to Wendy Williams isn't spread. Here's that interview.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Nene Leakes. How are
Hallelujah.
You?
Hallelujah. Yes, Nene Leakes is in the building.
What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing really, really good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good.
So the reunion must be coming up. Who do you think is going to be in the hot seat? First, at least.
Probably me.
Now, why would that be, Nene?
I'm not exactly sure why I would be in the hot seat, okay. But I probably would be. If not, it would probably be Kenya.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, you know, done a lot of horrible things.
There's a lot going on this season with Kenya. That's...
Because I literally was on an apology tour, so I don't see why my seat would be so hot.
Right.
But I can tell you, hers is going to be on fire.
So what are some of the issues you think that will come up?
With who?
Well, at the reunion in general, but I guess starting with Kenya, yeah.
At the reunion in general?
Yeah.
One issue will be her bringing the cookie lady. You know, in yes. front of Tanya, you know what I'm saying?
That was a moment,
that will be a moment. Her bringing in a band inside of Marlo's wig launch.
Uh-huh.
she and I in Greece.
Do you think that Ken or Kenya will show up to the reunion?
Ken and Kenya.
Both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there will be certain people that she will become kin with. That is her way of saying, I'm not giving you anything. And then there will be certain people, like, i.e. me, the girl who she wants to be. She'll have a lot to say to me. But, baby, she better come with her guns blazing because I'm going to blow her head completely off.
Okay. Well, there you go. So when the news hit about Kenya's divorce, what was your initial reaction?
My initial reaction was, you know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because I've been married for a long time. I've been in a relationship a really long time. And you don't want to see a family break up and they have a new baby.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, wow, I mean, dang. But then you think about it and you're like, karma is because you tried it with a lot of people's relationships. I mean, look what you just did to Tanya. That's not cool.
Right.
So another woman could do the same thing to you.
Yeah. The way Mark treats Kenya that we've seen this season, have you noticed a difference? I mean, just from what you know about their relationship, when they first met, did you notice a change in the way he treats her?
No. When she first met him, I remember her like having this guy she would talk to on the phone. And we were in, I want to say, San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And she kind of FaceTimed with him a couple times while me, her, and Cynthia had gone shopping. And I know she was like, you know, really giggly, like, I like this guy, whatever. And then there was a period where, you know, we weren't around. And then now to the, you know, she didn't invite anybody to the wedding.
Right.
So then jumped to her being back on the show. I mean, I don't know what happened in between.
Yeah.
But what I can see, and knowing relationships the way that I do, and I'm a marriage therapist, he doesn't like her.
Well, what about the way that she treats him, too? Because, I mean, to your point, as viewers, we haven't really seen the two of them together until really this season. So we're getting, I think, one small glimpse into it. But I don't know. It's been hard to watch.
It wasn't hard for me to watch, but I don't think that they are a match.
Yeah.
In fact, I haven't ever seen her match up with any man. They are all gone with the wind.
And not fabulous.
Okay.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you. So you have been seeing a life coach for a while over the course of the season. We've seen a lot of that. So what have been some of the biggest things that you've learned about yourself being with a life coach?
Well, I know a lot of things about myself. I'm very in touch with me, honey, okay? But I learned, honestly, being with her, I learned that it is okay to, you know, I had an issue with apology. I don't do that. I don't do it because a lot of times when I say something, I say what I mean, and I mean what I say, and I'm not trying to go back on it. But what for? I mean, you don't like it too bad. But I learned that, you know, it's okay to be the bigger person, as people like to say, and it's okay to apologize, because I don't want to apologize, but I don't, that person may be seriously hurt from something that I said or did, and I really need to apologize to them. I usually feel like, well, if I said it, you probably deserved it, and I'm never going to take it back.
Right.
Now just sit in that for a little while.
Yeah.
Well, sit on that for about 2 years.
Well, and I think to that point,
I'm doing better.
To that point, too, sometimes it's the other person who might need the apology more than
me.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I understood. And I was on a little bit of apology tour. Still don't quite understand why, but, you know, I was there.
I think your sincerity in terms of the apologies has come into question. But I think what you're saying is that you are sincere about it, but it's just.
Oh, no. I think most people who know me, even the girls on this show, they know that I won't apologize.
Right.
Unless I really meant it.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot for me to do that. Like, I'm not a person that's like, I'm just not that girl, unfortunately. Well, I'm going to be sit here and hold your hand and listen, hold my hand.
Right.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay, Nene.
I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
I'm never that girl.
Right.
So these girls know if I did something even close to that, that it took a lot for me to do it, and I really meant it.
Yeah.
So I meant, I'm not a person that, I don't want to hurt you. You know what I'm saying? I am blunt. I'm not trying to hurt you. And I do not want to hurt you. So everything I said to them was real. They know it's real. You can probably ask every one of them.
Right.
Except for Ken. But all the rest of them will say, no, we pretty much know her. She's not going to do that. I've worked with these girls for years.
Of course.
And so I felt that I needed to say something. Now, and I did say, I think I said on Andy's show and a few other places, I apologize to Eva. That's the only person that I didn't understand why I was apologizing.
Right.
I just didn't understand it.
Yeah, but you still chose to do it because...
I did it because I don't know why I did it.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand why I had to do it.
Right.
But I did it because I don't know why she would be upset with me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't get it.
I think Eva's kind of in a rough place with a few of the ladies at the moment. So what what happened there?
With me and her?
Yeah, well, not know. Even with you, but I think even with Portia, like we've heard some things from BravoCon.
I don't know what happened to us. What I know is that I had my mic on. We talk about it openly on the show. I went to her. She never said anything bad. She didn't say anything that anyone couldn't hear. If she had started cursing or saying something that we didn't want to get out, I would have said, shh, I'm Mike, the same way Candy told Cynthia, shush, I Mike. I would have done the same thing.
Right.
But she didn't say anything. And so I felt like when she sat in her interviews and just kind of like talk about me so hard as if I really did something to her. Marlo really was the person that brought all the dirt on her.
Yeah.
And she seemed to be okay with Marlo. She seemed to really have something against me. So I just didn't think that I deserved that. She came on the show saying that she known me for 10 years, which it probably was like, you know, 7, but I let her go ahead and say 10,
right,
okay?
Yeah, exaggerate a
just
little.
Just to help her out a little bit.
Right.
And so I was always cool with her. She was like, she's like a big sister to me. I want her to speak at my wedding, da-da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden, if you know me for 10 years and I've been cool and we've never had an argument, you want me to speak at your wedding? Like, why have all of a sudden I'm this bad person? I thought she was jumping on the bandwagon, but the other girls just trying to make it out of something to be something that wasn't really nothing.
Right, yeah. Well, I think you're a little right about that.
See, I had to do that. She was trying to make something out of nothing.
Yeah.
Because she thought it was good to be on the bash Nene wagon.
Right.
Well, not a good choice, Eva, because I'm
so
coming
good.
For you.
Well, we saw you got very emotional earlier on this season, too, with everything that went on with Cynthia. You're trying to repair your relationship with her. You guys have that meeting, and you get very emotional. So what's going on with you and Cynthia now?
What's going on with us now?
Yeah.
Well, we're in a much better place than we were at the beginning of the season. Yeah. I always thought of Cynthia as my sister, so it was a very difficult time for me. That was probably the hardest, and Cynthia's probably the only person that I've had that relationship with on the show.
Yeah.
And so it was just very difficult. But we're in a much better place. I saw her in the airport some months ago, and she came over and said hi, and I was trying to dodge her. it's the truth. I looked back and I saw her, and I was like, okay, now, you know you're too tall to be in, so let's just act like you. And then Hi Nene, I was like, oh, hey. Hey, girl.
Fancy seeing you here.
What are you doing? When is your flight?
Was she with Mike?
No, she was by herself.
So what was your reaction to everything that comes out about Mike and the book he's writing, infidelity, all of that?
I liked Mike when I met him. I was with them on their first date in Atlanta, and I liked him. I actually think it's okay to talk about your past. I just feel like he's talking about his past. It doesn't mean that he's going to continue to cheat. He's cheated in the past, and maybe he's learned from it. I mean, I think it's okay.
Well, I think
that
look,
was half of the guys around cheat. I mean, it was the biggest.
Right. Well, I think that was sort of his point. He was like, well, the reason I'm writing this book is to let all this out, to be open about it, and to let you know that I'm not going to do that to you.
Well, we're waiting.
Right.
But,
in theory. Yes.
But I think he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to talk about your past. Actually, I think it's very healing to just, you know, like, look, I used to be a cheater. I'm not trying to do that now.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to be with one lady. So I think it's okay.
Yeah.
At least he's trying.
Yeah. It's very true. Let's talk about your relationship with Wendy Williams.
Yes.
So you guys have been friends for a very, very long time.
Yes.
Are you ever worried about the information that you might share with her, just given her role?
Absolutely. Yesterday, Marlo and I were having late lunch or early dinner with her at Birdoff, and every time we got ready to talk about something, we said, and don't you say nothing on your show about this either.
Right.
And then we'll go to talking, and we said, and don't you say anything. Girl, we're going to make you sign an NDA. And because we're like girls who, I'm the type of girl, and Marlo is too, the type of girl that, no, we don't really have any secrets. Like, when we get with our friends, we're just trying to talk.
Yeah.
Not like, girl, don't say that in front of her. So we're just like saying everything. We're like, don't you say anything. You hear me? Don't you go on your show. This is not for your show.
This is off the record, okay?
And then she's laying over there like, I know. And then tomorrow I'll be on her show. What Nene said. We're like, girl, you better stop.
Right.
So I absolutely worry.
Yeah.
But we have this thing, and I don't know why. She says that if she hears anything, she's going to call and ask me, and she'll always ask my permission. But she broke that bun.
Right.
I don't know.
She just forgot.
All of a sudden, she had amnesia. And now she's over here like, hey, I got a text from Nene. I'm like, well, dang. hello? Are we friends?
Well, you did say on the show that, you know, you kind of, you see her heart, she sees yours. Like there is a connection that you two have. Yeah. So what would be something that we would be surprised to know about Wendy?
I think she said it on her show that she's a loner. Mm-hmm. She's not like a total loner because, you know, loners are different. But she does everything alone.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a lot of friends. Well, I don't think that's surprising. She's the kind of girl, like, she's all about her work. Like, she loves her show. That really is her life. Once her show is over, she literally snatches off her wig and grabs this other, like, old wig. And she wipes off her makeup. And you can see her sitting on her show looking fabulous with beautiful hair and makeup. And when the show is over, she goes immediately into, like, she just want to be like this regular girl. She puts on this old wig that's, like, flying everywhere and wipe off all of her makeup. And she's happy.
Yeah.
Just like that.
All right.
And that's why sometimes people see her on Instagram. They're like, well, her hair is a mess. And I'm like, she actually wants it to be a mess.
Yeah, right. Well, because, yeah, it's different when you're on the show than when you're in your everyday life.
Yeah, she's just a really, she's a foodie.
Oh.
She's a real foodie. Oh, my gosh. She packs boxes from every restaurant we go to. I'm like, girl, leave that here. You're not eating that. And she's like, yes, I am. I'm going to eat that.
Well, I think when we see you call her on the show, she's like, well, I'm just looking in the fridge for something to eat before I have dinner later on or something.
She's a trip.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, but she's just like any other girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Her job is her job, and that's what she does for a living. But at the end of the day, she's fun. Like any other girl, she likes to have a good time.
Yeah. So Marlo, this season, we've seen her step up as the Munty role to her nephew. So
don't you love it?
I love it. I absolutely love it. Have you seen a big change in her since she's sort of taken on this new role? And what has that been like?
I always say to everybody that these boys have really changed her life. She really loves them a lot. And she's never been a mom. So this is like her being a mom, like somebody gave her some kids, and I see the soft side of her. She's crazy about those.
Yeah,
kids.
It's been so great to see, especially with the charity event and her bringing them. Like, I feel like we're seeing a whole new side of Marlo.
Yeah, you are.
So in Toronto, there was a huge blow up fight. One of the theories we have is that Marlo decorated the room. In the hotel in Toronto. Marlo decorated her room. She had her own, like, name put up there.
Oh, she does that everywhere we go, so that's nothing to us.
Well, the one thing that I wanted to ask is there was a snake plant planted exactly behind Yovana.
Was it?
So I wasn't sure if that was purposely placed, and I wanted to get clarification on that.
I didn't see that. Is that true?
There was a snake plant behind her. I don't know if it was just...
I remember that.
If it was just Marlo decorating her room or what?
Definitely Marlo. Marlo decorates her room everywhere she goes. So she actually taught me how to decorate my room. So now a few of us decorate our room with our stuff when we go away. So she says you should make your room feel like home because you're going to be staying there for a few days, right?
That's fair.
She takes out of her shoes and her purses and the candles, and she brings glasses and pillowcases. Now, I'm not going that far.
Right.
But she does all of that, and she decorates the room. So she could have had a snake plant.
Well, she brings too much because she's always losing her luggage when she goes places.
Yeah, you should see the stuff she has. She has a lot of stuff. It could be 2 days and she has everything.
Right. Well, before we wrap up, you had said on Watch What Happens Live that you would love to have Kim back. Yes. Do you think the rest of the cast agrees?
No, they don't. They don't agree for a couple of reasons. One is Kim is an OG.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these girls really, really have an issue with OGs.
Yeah.
And Kim's an OG, and she's going to get a little bit more respect from people than they might get. And I think they have an issue with that.
Yeah.
I really do. And then, you know, Kim, you know, she's not backing down, so she's going to be arguing with everybody.
Right.
Everybody, including me.
Well, we would love to see that, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know if Kim will ever come back.
Right.
It's so weird. Like, you know, it was a lot for her the last time she was here.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Do I have a return?
All right. Well, thank you so much, Nene, for coming in. It was great to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for the fun room.
Of course.
Okay, so Vanderpump Rules. Megan, I have a question for you as a female who has sex with a man.
Yeah.
Brittany mentions at the top of this episode a spray and pray.
Jax and I want to have a family very, very soon. So we used to do the spray and pray, but now we're just not praying.
Oh, right.
What on earth is a spray and pray?
It means you pull out and then you pray that the pre-cum doesn't get you pregnant.
Well, I wasn't sure if a spray and pray meant that they're not using any protection at all and they're just like going for it and praying that like they do get pregnant or they don't. Like, you know, they both have talked about, Brittany and Jax, about starting a family pretty quickly after getting married. Like, that's sort of the next step that they want to take together. So I wasn't sure if that meant that they were trying or if they were not trying, but just seeing what happens. I had never heard spray and pray before.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, it's not a term me and my girlfriends use. you know, pull out method is the more traditional term.
That right, might, more you know, technical.
Yes.
What did you think about Katie essentially shitting all over Kristen's business while she does nothing?
Well, okay, so here's what it is. I don't think Katie would have said anything except that Kristen pointed out, you don't do anything, so why aren't you doing anything for our wine business? To which then Katie has to be like, what do? You just take the slogans and slap it on a t-shirt.
That honestly pisses me off. I could go on Pinterest and like take my friend's quotes and slap them on a t-shirt and make some money too. Like, come on.
But it did make me think, like, what happened to Pucker and Pout? That was Katie's whole business. Well, let me look real quick, because, like, so now that we're on Skype, I just want to see when the last time is that she posted.
But, you know, even thinking about Katie and how she's spending her time, whatever, do what you gotta do. It's not my business. But they're even highlighting how Lala is volunteering at Vanderpump Dogs right now. So Lala is still kind of using her time for something good. Whereas, you know, the producers kind of gave Katie that shady montage where it was her just kind of moping about and like yawning and just not really doing anything. So I just feel like there's not really an opportunity. She shouldn't have taken the opportunity to insult Kristen when it's like she doesn't have anything to sort of back it up.
Okay, so I just looked and the last post was 2014. I think it's weird to me that they would have entered into this business agreement and that all three of them aren't giving it their all. You know yeah. what I mean? I mean, I have to imagine some of their money went into this. And I also think like when you're a celebrity, it's pretty easy to like make certain things. I don't know. I guess it's not easy, but like your chances of your business taking off are much greater than those of the average person.
Absolutely. You have the platform, you have the social media following for it. I mean, we've seen just in the last couple of months, really, Tom and Ariana's cocktail book take off. And I feel like they've been doing all of the things that they're supposed to be doing in terms of, you know, getting the right kind of press and appearing on morning shows and whatever it may be. So there's definitely still some hustle you have to put behind it, but you should really leverage the platform
yeah.
as much as you can.
It's very strange.
Can you believe that James is going to AA?
I have to say, someone even messaged me about this. They DM'd me that they were like, this interview with James, like, who is this person? This is like a thoughtful, nice person who really just seems completely different than the James we're seeing right now. So to me, I really do think that is a result of him entering a program and working it. Like, I mean, I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, well, in your interview with him, you know, he had said at that point he was 9 months sober, which is huge. I mean, yeah. that's incredible for him. And there was a noticeable change, I think, in him from when he came in for the interview just a few weeks ago versus the last time that he was here. And he just seemed to be in better spirits. And like the way in the interview he was talking about his mom and everything, like there was definitely a change in him. So it's very interesting to see him in the office like we did a few weeks ago, and then the start of his journey on the show right now. I mean, it's major.
Yeah, I'm happy for him, and I'm happy that Raquel was able to sort of successfully use an ultimatum, you know? It doesn't always work out.
Yeah, Raquel is, you know, I love her. I think she's really starting to come into her own on the show, especially when she goes and confronts Lala about all of the things that Lala said about her last year, kind of calling her stupid and whatever.
Well, what an arc we followed with Lala and Raquel in this episode. Yeah. I mean, they go to coffee and Raquel and her seem to have a really good conversation. Lala takes back what she said about Raquel. But then at the end of the episode at Sandoval's birthday party, like she might as well have just said, you're a dummy again. You know what I mean?
Right.
And insinuates that, yeah, James and Logan did hook up.
I just don't understand your friendship with Logan. That's a good friend right there. He lied for James a couple years ago about the hooking up stuff.
Just for my own personal knowledge, need to know that information because
I
have always had a bit of a crush on James. And I think like Jax has always been like your show crush, and James has always been like my show crush when it comes to Vanderpump Rules.
I mean, mine's actually Bo, but yes, I understand what you're saying.
Oh, that's true, Bo. And I do, I mean, and I also have a picture of Tom Schwartz, like, hanging on my desk that, you know, whatever.
So we just, like, all the guys, whatever.
Right. I really am so curious, because Lala was pretty much like, I know these things have happened, whatever, we can move on from it, but sure, Raquel, whatever. But, you know, I mean, it's just like, whatever. Everyone's young in LA and they're pretty. And if James wants to hook up with Logan, whatever. But just, I would like to just have that information.
When I get to the pearly gates, there are certain things I want to know. Like, what is the purpose of life? Why is there suffering? And did James and Logan hook up? Yo, I'm dead, but here's the tea.
It's like, I'll either be like here still waiting, or I'll already be inside and I'll just be like, come on in. I don't know.
Or
I'll be down there.
Sandoval decides to throw himself a birthday party, and it is the most extra birthday party theme yet, which is be your most extra self.
Listen, I love a theme party. I think it makes everything better. A lot more fun. Everyone feels a little bit more engaged. Everyone gets to be a little bit creative. And I just did not appreciate that Jax, now that he's married, he thinks he's too good for certain things. And I feel like this theme party is one of them.
Why do we have to be so extra?
It's fun.
It's fun when you're 25.
Like, honestly, he could have just dressed up as the devil and it would have been great. You know what I mean?
Yes. That is true. I feel like he probably wouldn't have done that. Post-wedding, like with Britney and everything, dressing as the devil might not be the best option, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know. It sucks when someone is like not participating.
Yeah.
Like just let loose, you know, have fun.
Well, and especially because from the mid-season trailer that we saw, there's something that happens where Brittany is fearful that Jax is reverting to his old ways. So as much as Jax, you know, pretends that maybe he's so much different now and he's so much wiser and he's married and all of these things, I feel like for the rest of the season, we're going to see something that might be a bit alarming.
Yeesh.
I also got the chance to speak with Vanderpump Rules Dana Kathan. She talks about Danica Dow's DUI, shares her current opinion on her ex-boyfriend Max Boyens, and if she regrets rubbing his necklace in cat poop. Plus, I play a little game with Dana where we try to make each other laugh with a series of dad jokes. Let's take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Dana Kathan.
You got like it. Nathan. You nailed it. That's it.
From Vanderpump Rules. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You're looking fabulous.
Thank you. I got zhuzhed today.
You are zhuzhed up.
I'm zhuzhed. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming. So let's talk a little bit about Danica first. We learn early this season that she was suspended from her job. We find out at some point she reveals that she has a DUI. So is she a bit of a wild child?
Yeah, of course she is. Every day she just flies off the cuff and really gets out there and lives her life out loud, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for her on the DUI thing. That was a few years ago and everyone makes mistakes and I feel like it's very much still haunting her. Like, tisk, tisk, there's no excuse in this day and age to drink and drive.
Right.
But I just do feel for her that I feel like that's haunting her and she has this like feisty reputation, but it's for a good reason, so. Yeah.
Well, and she has a sense of humor about it too. She like, we see her in the car, like into the breathalyzer and she's like, oh, it's just so annoying.
The first time I drove with her and she did that, I was like, what is going on? Is this a spaceship? Because it's like beep, beep, beep. Beep. And she did it. And when I tell you, I was streaming tears. I was like, how often does this happen to you? And she has to do it all the time when
right.
she's driving.
Because I've heard of that too, but I've never actually seen the process of how it works. And I was just like, oh my God.
I thought it was like a made up thing for the 40-year-old virgin, but it's a real thing.
It's a real
like people
thing.
Have them. So.
So she came in a little hot this season in terms of some rumors about Max. So knowing what you know now, do you think there was actually some truth to the rumors that she was bringing to you?
The thing is, I always thought that there was truth. Max was owned, honestly, a lot of what they had told me. He gave it a spin and put, you know, polished it to make it look more in his favor. But I knew there were things out there that were unfavorable. But I just think that you can't really judge someone completely on their past. You can, you know, keep an eye out. But I just think that they weren't coming from a good place at the time and didn't like me. So, of course, I'm not going to like trust these girls and rely on them for information about someone who's never done anything to me at that point.
Right.
Did they end up being totally right? And then some, of course they did, but that's just the name of the game when you put yourself out there.
Yeah. So Max ultimately bans Danica from TomTom. So what did you think about that? We got an eye roll, ladies and gentlemen. I know you can't see that, but
I mean, they should see these gorgeous lashes rolling.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I think that Max sometimes is a little bit on a power trip about his role at TomTom. And I'm like, the people who have authority to ban people from TomTom are Lisa and Tom and Tom. And I'm sure, I mean, yeah, if someone did something crazy, but just because you don't like someone and they said something about you that's ultimately true, I don't think it's fair to just ban them from TomTom.
Yeah, well, it comes up, I think, in conversation with him and Tom Schwartz, I think it is, because it's like, it's not really professional. He's not banning her for a professional reason.
No,
it's 90% personal.
Yeah, of course. And I think she did kind of speak out to Richardson, the manager there, and like was being drunk. But like, I work at TomTom. Now I'm a server. I'm a bartender at TomTom. I see all day the animals that happen past 11 p.m. Like, people get wild there. They go, you know, black out and do outlandish things. And like, a lot of those people don't get banned. So I don't think she was doing anything reckless or really to like endanger another person needing to ban them.
Right.
You know?
It was sort of just maybe a buildup of like the frustration of the things that Max had heard Danica was saying. So he was like, I'm just going to use a bit of a power trip, right?
I think that he was mad that she told me truths about him. And that is the reason he didn't want her around.
Right. Looking back on your breakup with Max, do you regret going back and asking kind of for a second chance?
Yes.
Okay.
I do now. I think that it goes way deeper than a playboy, whatever you want to, however you want to call it. I think it's like a thrill thing for him. Like, he wants to see what he can get away with. But you asked a minute ago, like, how does someone get away with that? I don't know. He does, though. He does it well.
Yeah.
So
I think Sheena referred to it as a fuckboy.
Yeah, he's fully a fuckboy, but like, it's deeper than that. Even things I've seen in the last few months, like, it's just crazy. So.
Do you have any regrets then about the necklace in the litter box?
No, I love that for him.
Have you ever caught him wearing it post?
I did actually, like, before I ended up telling him about it, like, at one point, but I saw him wearing it a couple times, like, between before I had told him, like, we got back in kind of like a good friend space and I told him.
Yeah.
And I laughed about it to myself and I was like, I feel better. This is good. I feel better about it. So
did
whatever.
Did you tell anyone else in the cast, like, look at that necklace, I put it in the litter box?
I think I told Ariana, but I was like, don't tell anyone because I sound like a psycho, because I'm really a student of move on and be happy. That's the best revenge you can have. Like, you don't need to do reckless things, but it was just such a, like, heated situation. And I don't even recognize myself in that. Like, I don't normally do those things, but
right.
No, I don't regret it. Smell your poop necklace. Get
I don't
here.
Regret that you did it. Okay.
No, we love that for me.
So outside of the whole situation with Max, I mean, we also have Sheena. So now that you've been able to watch the season back and you've seen some of the things that she said in her interviews, do you kind of understand her perspective a little bit more?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Because to me, I mean, and she'll even say this now, like, where we are, like, she treated me unfairly. And whatever those reasons were, we have a different perspective on why she treated me the way she treated me. But at the end of the day, what it boils down to is she was wrong in treating me the way that she did. Yeah. So I can understand it a little bit, but at the same time, I just wouldn't treat someone else that way when I didn't know them at all. And you know what I mean? So
yeah, well, she had said on our show that it wasn't necessarily over Max, but it was because everyone went to your comedy show, but they didn't go to like her Las Vegas performance. So
bullshit.
She felt like you were stealing her
bullshit.
Friends.
You can't, you can't steal friends. I do. I believe her when she says that that was a big part of it. I do understand that, but it was a little bit about Max. You can't say that it totally had nothing to do with him. Cause even in, when she was like talking to Max at guys night, she's like, I don't want her thinking she's your girlfriend. Like, why the fuck do you care what he thinks of me as, or what I think? Like, you're clearly bothered on some level. And I also am trying to give space to her for that and be understanding. Like, she was hurt by this person and now I'm coming around and her friends like me and whatever. And but she did feel threatened in some way, and whatever the reasons were, it wasn't right.
Right. I think it's also like, it depends on the timing. Cause we also see her saying something about like, well, I don't have a crush on Brett. And then it cuts back to her being like, I have a crush on Brett.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a little bit of inconsistency there.
Yeah.
So around the time that Brittany and Jax get married this season, you mentioned at one point that weddings like aren't really your thing. Do you get a lot of challenges on that perspective from some of your friends?
Yeah. I mean, also like all my friends from back home are all married, all engaged, all have kids, all live in the house, all have the dog, all have the fence. And it's just not my thing. Like, my parents got married. My mom was 8 months pregnant with my older sister. She was wearing his long johns. They went to a judge and parked in the 15-minute parking and got married. And like, I thought there was something so romantic and sweet about that. And like, they had been planning on getting married and just like did it one day. And to me, it's, I think that in our Instagrammable culture, it's so much more about who's there, who's wearing what, who brought who has the best drinks and food and venue. And to me, it's not so much about the love, and it should be. I think it's a really special thing to find someone that wants to spend their life with you. So if I ever got married, I'm not unopposed to it, but I really think that I would get married with me and the person ordaining us, and like either at a courthouse or somewhere special, and just keep it really simple.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because you mentioned Ariana, and I know you guys are friends, and that's a lot of, I think, the way she views it as well. And she's challenged a lot, she and Tom on the show, for the kind of structure of their relationship. And it's not as conventional perhaps as other ones. So have you and Ariana kind of connected on that level?
We connect on every level. Right. I love Ariana. Big Ariana stan over here.
I love her too.
She's so great. And I think it's weird how people care about other people's life choices. If it's not hurting you or affecting you in any way, I'm not really sure why it matters, or why do we have to put on a white dress and do the whole dog and pony show if that's not what we like? Like, if you want to do that, I think that's amazing. Go do that. But it's just not for, I think, her or myself, and we've definitely connected on that.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about Raquel and James and their situation, because we see you go out to lunch with Raquel and you're sort of there talking to her through the whole situation with the text messages and everything. So what was your perspective there? Like, how did you kind of support her through that?
I mean, I think that I'm a lot more direct. I'm honestly proud of Raquel for the way that she did, I think, finally stand up for herself, but I'm just a lot more direct and like, I don't fuck with that. You talk to me that way, bye. Like, that's how easy that would be for me. And I feel like I was just trying to give her a perspective of like, objectively, if someone, I don't care like if it's the guy or the girl, anyone's talking to their partner this way, it's not okay. And you shouldn't accept that behavior. And you should draw a line in the sand. And if it doesn't change, you should move on. Like, that's because you think it's going to get better in time with kids and getting married and all the other life milestones that happen.
Yeah. Have you seen a change in their relationship since that situation?
Dramatically.
Oh, good.
James
okay.
is sober. He's almost 9 months sober, which is so incredible. That's and amazing. I feel like that really needed to happen. And I wasn't as close with him or them at the time, but like have gotten to know them more. And what I've seen now is just so positive. Like, they hosted this really great Christmas party around the holidays, and we're just like, you could just tell they were in a good space. And he was so happy and being outgoing and like his funny James self, but he was sober and like living, and everyone else was like drinking and having a good time. And he just was living his best life.
Yeah. I mean, it was a powerful moment when we see him sit down with Lisa and he presents the chip and he's like, I went to an AA meeting and like, here's my first chip and like, I'm making changes. And I felt that too. I felt like he was making a change in that moment.
Oh, I thought it was so cool. And I also loved and thought it was so smart that Raquel brought up Al-Anon, and what an interesting perspective to be there for your partner in the way that like loved ones of people who have substance abuse problems can get their own education and have their own support as a way to be there for their partner more. I thought that was so cool.
Absolutely. In the mid-season trailer, we get a little tease of something going on with you and Brett. So can you tell us what might be to come this season?
I mean, I still don't know what happened, so tune in.
You're like, I don't know. I blurted it all out.
I don't know. It's wild. It was a wild time.
Was he ever on your radar, like, when everything was going on with you and Max? Did you ever, like, look over and you're like, oh, well, Brett's cute, too. I mean,
I think anyone with eyes knows that Brett is good looking.
I mean,
so,
I was stalking him before the season.
But I just didn't. I love that for you. I didn't know him that well, and then we had started to hang out a little bit more, and then it caught my attention, and I was like, huh, maybe I chose wrongly here in this
interesting
situation. So
okay, I'm excited to see that. So we know you're into stand-up comedy. You're very mm-hmm. funny, by the way.
Thank you.
Who are some comedians you look up to?
Dave Chappelle, Louis Black, Amy Schumer, Ellen DeGeneres. I mean, I feel like people are like, oh, it's not cool to like name big name comics, but they're big name comics for a reason. And right. those are the people that I love.
I want to play a little game with you.
Okay.
It's called Dad Jokes with Dana.
Love.
And
I
so
love
I
a dad
have,
joke.
I have jokes for each of us. And what we have to do is we have to tell each other the joke without laughing.
Okay.
Okay. So this is yours.
I'm like already laughing.
I know, right? I just like, I can't help it.
Okay. I'll go first.
All right.
What do sprinters eat before a race? Nothing. They fast.
Okay. Did you hear the rumor about the peanut butter?
No.
Well, I'm not going to spread it.
You sly dog. Why do melons have weddings?
I don't know.
Because they cantaloupe.
Oh. Do you want to hear a joke about construction?
Yeah.
I'm still working on it.
I'm taking these. I love dad jokes so much.
That doesn't count, that laugh.
Yeah, that was to my uncle.
Right.
Why couldn't the bicycle stand up by itself?
I don't know.
It was too tired.
Okay, I lose. What happens when you go to the bathroom in France?
What?
European.
Okay. I'm
she wants to laugh.
I fully want to laugh. Those are great.
I think we did pretty well.
Yeah. That I mean, I think we both collectively won. I won a little more than you,
right,
but like,
yeah,
you both won.
Because I like broke a little bit. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Dana.
Oh my God,
this was so fun.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Speaking of yeesh, should we talk about shots?
Great segue. And yes. Okay. So. We're still, like, this is the aftermath. It's kind of like the what happened at the pool party at the beginning.
Yes.
And we see that afterwards, Reza takes out all of his frustrations with MJ out on social media. And he discloses to the world everything that just happened to her, how she almost died at the hospital and all the complications with the baby. Really bad move on his part.
Yeah.
And then we see Tommy's reaction to that, which is we have security footage of him going to their backyard and just destroying it. And he has a baseball bat in hand.
Right.
It's just, it's crazy because it all seemed to just happen so quickly. Like it all escalated so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just kept getting worse. And I just, part of me was like, what would have happened if Reza and Adam were at home? Like, how much worse could it have gotten? Because to your point, you see Tommy walk up with a bat and yeah, he trashes the backyard and we don't really see much else because it's only the security footage that catches it. But he went over there to confront them, it seems. And thank God the gays like brunch because they were off, you know, at brunch, whatever, and realized that this was happening in real time because Adam got the alert on his phone. But it's just really scary to think how much worse it could have gotten at that point.
Adam and I are sitting having brunch with my mother. Adam got a Ring notification on his phone. Tommy called me in a state of rage. And he said, Reza, you mother, I'm gonna f-ing kill you.
And then for MJ to defend Tommy's actions at brunch with Mike and Nima being like, it was just some plants, but it might not have been just some plants, you know?
Tommy has to protect his wife and his son.
Of course.
And when someone says horrific things about his wife and then takes to social, do you really expect a man to just lay down?
Right, she called it a proper reaction. And I mean, I think that I would be so pissed if someone did to my partner what Reza did in terms of like blasting all of that information on social media and all of the shaming about the abortions on camera, but it's still not a proper reaction. And, you know, now Reza has taken out a restraining order and has pressed charges against Tommy. And I just know for a fact that that really is such a, that plays out the rest of the season.
That escalates the situation even further and puts literal more distance between him and MJ, and like someone that he's been close to for so long. Now there's just like a legal document that's like, stay away. We have to stay away.
Well, and it's also this thing of, it's one thing for Reza and MJ to have an issue because they have all this history. They could potentially decide to get over it and reunite. But once you get the partners involved, they don't have that history.
Yeah.
And now, like, how will they get over this?
Right. Right. I want to talk a little bit about Destiny and not only her role in this drama, but first and foremost, going back to something that sort of stemmed out of the last episode, and I think we didn't really get to talk about it, is the situation with her and Sam, Sara's brother. So I am team Destiny and Sam because I am team let two grown adults do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
But everyone seems to be a little bit against Destiny and thinking that she should have more respect for Sara and all of this other stuff that maybe it is tied into their like cultural thing when it comes to family, like you need to be respectful. But for me, I'm sort of like, I don't know. I also am an only child. So I'm like, I can't really speak on what I would think if a friend of mine hooked up with a sibling. But I'm just sort of like, I don't really follow why everyone is so mad at Destiny over that situation.
First of all, the second you tell someone they can't have something, they want it 10 times more. So right. It's really like her fault, you know, like just let it ride out, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
let her ride it out.
Exactly. It's more likely than not a one night stand. Sure, they're texting, they're in touch. Most likely nothing will come of it. I mean, doesn't he live in Vegas? Like, how much can you really nurture a relationship like that? But, you know, long distance does work for some people, whatever. But something tells me this isn't like a long haul situation for Destiny and Sam.
We shall see.
But the next part of the Destiny situation that I think where you're also a little confused on is sort of her role in this whole dramatic situation between MJ and Reza. Because at one point, Mike in this episode talks about, you know, he's very much the voice of reason. And he's saying that everyone has played a role in this situation and needs to take responsibility. And obviously that comes down to Reza and what he did, MJ and what she did, Tommy and what he did. But I'm just a little confused as to what Destiny did in this situation. And I think she is too.
Well, I think what I'm confused about is what was Destiny's role in it? What do they think her role in it was? Shervin, Nima, and Mike all seem to have this idea that she has done something. But I'm like, but what? What do you think she did?
So Destiny was almost just like the messenger in the situation, but I think was the only connection to Ali and Reza, I guess. But I still just like, I'm not sure whose side she's on or if she really did anything wrong. And it's just like, it's very convoluted, I feel like. And maybe there's just no need for her to be involved in it at this point anyway.
Right. If you're really innocent, why are you acting so goddamn guilty?
Right. Yeah, that's true. I think she probably feels like she's guilty, but doesn't know why.
Yeah. True.
It's very easy to like absorb guilt when there's so much going on and you're in a situation and you're like, maybe there is something that I did wrong. And then you almost convince yourself, like, maybe that's a little bit of what she's doing right now.
What did you think about? I mean, look, we've heard about MJ's hospital scare and everything that went down, but I felt like it was totally different hearing it from Tommy's point of view.
When Tommy was waiting to find out if I was gonna make it, he was completely taken back to the loss of his mother.
They told me it was gonna be the best night of my life. The way you hold your kid, it's gonna be the best night of your life, bro. Wait. It was the fucking worst experience of my life, and I can't get it out of my head.
His breakdown, I got choked up. And not to defend his behavior, because you should never do something like that, and his behavior was not justified, but it does make a lot more sense when you hear him speak on it the way that he did when he was like bawling his eyes out.
I think it was very traumatic for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a very tough guy. He has this image and whatever that he portrays. So I think it's hard for some men to learn how to properly express their emotions. And obviously he probably has some issues with anger and managing that anger, and it all came out in the wrong way. So it was sort of misdirected emotions going to Reza's and smashing everything and whatever he was sort of intending to do, when really at the end of the day, it was just that he was so hurt and scared and afraid for his wife, his son, that he just really took those emotions and did not cope with them properly.
Rosenthorn?
Okay, let's do Rosenthorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
So my rose was Gigi on Shaws of Sunset when she was talking about how her sperm donor wrote a note to the baby and how it was just this beautiful message of like, you need to know how much your parents must love you to be doing what they're doing. And I hope that like you never let any obstacles stop you in life.
He wrote a letter to the child.
That's beautiful.
It was just know that whoever your parents are, they mm-hmm. must love you so much Aww. To do this for you. And whatever it is in life, I want you to go out there, open Aww. Every door, tackle every obstacle, do it with a smile on your face. And just, I was like, oh my God.
What a nice gesture. And I agree, Gigi needs to find this person and date them ASAP.
100%. I wish he had left his phone number with that note and she could have been like, yo.
What was your rose?
My rose is Lisa Vanderpump using the term gobsmacked on Vanderpump Rules because she's whipped it out a few times and it is one of my favorite words and I feel like I need to use it a lot more often, especially given these current times that we are living in.
Yeah.
So my rose goes to Lisa and the word gobsmacked and how I'm going to incorporate it into my vocabulary a little bit more.
I'm gobsmacked.
It just makes me think of gobstoppers.
Which are great.
Amazing.
Those would also help pass the time.
These yeah. days.
Okay, what was your thorn?
Ugh, my thorn is without a doubt Luke from Summer House. Luke is what is wrong with men, and maybe some women, I don't know. But the fact that Luke goes after Hannah when she has a boyfriend makes her question, am I in the right relationship? Because here's this hot guy, Luke, who's really interested in me and putting in this effort. You know what? Maybe I should break up with Armand and I should try to date Luke. And the second she does, he's like, oh, well, I'm not really single because I just started talking to this girl and yeah. What the fuck, Luke?
I mean, I did not think we were going to go so far down the fuckboy route with him, but apparently we did.
I should have known from the hats. The hats and the fact that he plays acoustic guitar, I should have known.
That's true. I mean, we were all gobsmacked to learn that he was. It's true, there were some red flags along the way, but I think he's so pretty that we all just wanted to forget it. And same with Hannah. She's like, he's tall, he's over 6 feet, sign me up, whatever. And we were all bamboozled.
That's another good word.
It's another great one.
What was your
one.
Thorn?
My thorn is from Family Karma, and it is O'Malley, Bali's boyfriend of 4 years, not remembering her birthday. Like, these are the things in a long-distance relationship that you need to clock, because if you're not together physically all the time, those big milestone things like birthdays, anniversaries, whatever, they deserve the attention more so than if you are together, if you're long-distance. And so, I'm sorry, O'Malley, get it together. Bali deserves more. But I do love that they FaceTime to fall asleep every night and they leave their FaceTime on. That is really cute.
That's so cute.
Should we start doing that since we've been
a part? Oh my God, should we?
That would be so funny.
Next week, we have interviews with Real Housewives of New Jersey's Margaret Josephs and Real Housewives of Atlanta's Tanya Sam. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays.
You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, la, la. Where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.